actually a bed and breakfast ought to be less expensive than even the least expensive motel, including Motel 6, I think. Yes. Just kind of a personal question. Okay, I got this place for $30 a night. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm in this great, I'm in a good neighborhood and nice part of the country. Going back to death. Hello, everyone. This is Martin Zender. Sorry again for the echo chamber here. Don't know how many days I'm going to be doing the show from here. I think that's going to change as I move about the cabin, as they say. But in the meantime, I'm doing what I can. Back to death. And it really is about what it does to me. Now, I'm afflicted with seasonal affective disorder. I have been for years. I'm already kind of, I'm an excited guy about life. Not so much in the last few years. Not as excited as I have been in years past. But during the winter up north, it's just dramatically kind of buries me. And again, it's the absence of life. It's the bare trees. It's the gray lead skies. And I'll share a little anecdote with you. When I was flying to Springfield, Missouri, was that last month? Yes, in December, I was coming in, final approach into Springfield, and everything was going great. I'm looking forward to meeting new people, meeting the believers there. I knew they were going to be greeting me at the airport. Going to be great. And I'm looking out the window, real estate's flying by, and then all of a sudden a cemetery came into view out the window on my final approach into Springfield, Missouri. And I began to cry. I was choking back tears, but not very successfully. And I realized that humanity's entire problem is death. That's our whole problem. That's humanity's problem. People are rebelling against death and against the God, the caricature Christian God who proposed a plan to rescue from death but failed. In fact, failed so miserably that death is no longer the worst thing that could happen to you. It would be a blessing to be dead compared to being eternally tormented. So anyway, I shared that anecdote with the group there, and it made me really think that for me to be at my best, I believe, to have the wherewithal, the bubbly soul that it takes to get these books out that I've been promising you, maybe this is the answer. And since I can work from my computer, I thought, you know what? Maybe I'll just quit talking about it and do it. Who knows? You know how it is. I told God this too. You know, I know I'm not quite myself because I don't think anybody's home right now, but I'm a little, holding back a little bit. I don't know who's maybe somebody listening in on me. I get intimidated. Yes, I, Martin Zender, could become intimidated if I think I'm being heard beyond the walls. You remember I had this problem in Florida last time I was here when I was doing the show from the college. You remember that? I was in a stealth operation. I was in the math department. No, I haven't. Well, yes, they did ask me here what I did for a living. That's something, yes. On the first night, there were five of us sitting around the kitchen table. The other boarder here is a Korean girl, really sweet. And so we're all sitting around, five of us all together, and we're having this great conversation, and we're laughing. And I had a bottle of wine in my trunk, and I said, anybody want red wine? I was the hero at that point. I go out to my trunk, bring the wine, pour it for everybody. We had a great time. It was instant fellowship. And yet, I don't know if anybody here is a believer. Did I unsheathe the evangel right off the bat? No. For one thing, you don't know this about me maybe, but I'm very shy. I don't like to force things on people. All the meetings that I go to are meetings where it's pre-planned that there will be other believers there. So, what do you do for a living, Martin? Well, I'm a writer. Oh, what do you write? I took them back to my early career. I'm waiting for an opening, don't get me wrong, but you know what? Because I'm not a Christian, I don't have this impulsive need to save people before they die. Because I know God's plans. And I know that I let the peace of God arbitrate in my heart. The peace of God calls the shots. And I didn't have peace that night thinking about bringing out some of the stranger aspects of my occupation. So I regaled them with stories of my early writing career when I wrote for the Cleveland Plain Dealer and the Chicago Tribune, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and that was a nice icebreaker. So, we'll see. It's not my goal. It's not my goal? Somebody's whistling. Oh, crap. Somebody's here. They're whistling. All right. That's definitely a whistle. Can you hear it? All right. I had a mind-blowing thing to tell you today, and I'm still going to do it. But I have to do it on the sly. Now listen. Where did we get this thing? Where did we get this idea? I should have taken you back here. The fiery red dragon has these horns and heads. Well, my friends, we got it back in chapter 12, verse 1. We're in verse 7, and that's where I started you with yesterday. But look at verse 1. And a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon underneath her feet, and on her head a wreath of 12 stars. Being pregnant, she cries, travails. You know the rest of that story. Verse 3. And another sign was viewed in heaven, and lo, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, on its head 7 diadems. Mark that. Yes, I'm going to talk about the diadems. Don't worry. I got that covered. But for now, I want you to concentrate on this. Having 7 heads and 10 horns. That's the fiery red dragon. 7 heads, 10 horns. Now, I'm going to fast forward to Revelation 13. We're not there yet. We're in chapter 12. Are we not? And I perceived the wild beast ascending out of the sea. This is verse 1 of chapter 13, having 10 horns and 7 heads. There it is. Look, 10 horns and 7 heads. The wild beast has the same number of horns and heads. Horns and heads. As the fiery red dragon. Why is that? I explained it to you yesterday. Don't you remember? I said that the fiery red dragon is the adversary, and that he manifests himself on earth as a wild beast. And the wild beast doesn't even look like a wild beast. No, nobody's going to believe a wild beast. The wild beast has become systematized, and the wild beast exercises its will upon the earth through 10 heads, and one of those heads divides into 7 horns. 10 horns, sorry. 7 heads, 10 horns. All right, listen to this. This is breakthrough revelation. Now, I told you, what did I tell you? I'm a little distracted. I don't hear the whistling anymore. Shh, what's going on here? Okay. We are in the religious section of this book. And that's important, because I believe the 7 heads to be 7 distinct categories or subdivisions of religion. That's right. We're in the religious section. So why wouldn't the 7 heads be 7 religious, distinct religious organizations? Now, this is me. This is me talking to you now. This is an hypothesis. Is that an hypothesis or a hypothesis? I'm going to say a. But I went online, the internet, and I looked up... What did I look up? Hang on. This is good. I did a search of number of Christian denominations. These are Christian denominations, mind you. Because we know that the beast is coming out of Western power. And the West is Christianity. You remember the study we did on the beasts of Daniel chapter 7. Okay, listen to this. According to Wikipedia.com, where I looked up a list of Christian denominations by number of members, they list, are you ready for this, 7 main Christian denominations. Could these be the 7 heads of the wild beast, which is the red dragon, which is Satan? And I'm going to give you a list right now. I'm not going to, no. I could, yeah, I know. I got a few minutes left. I could hold this out for you till tomorrow. I may not be here tomorrow. So I'm going to do it now. Number 1, largest denomination in the world. Catholicism, the Catholics, the Pope, and the Cardinals and the Bishops. 1.2 billion people. Billion. Catholicism, number 2. You know what it is? It comes in with 800 million people, and it's Protestantism. You will not believe the subdivisions of Protestantism. Let me name but a few. Southern Baptist, Northern Baptist, Progressive National Baptist. Just the Baptists alone, they go on and on and on. Union of Baptist Churches in Rwanda. See, this is worldwide coverage, but it's still Christianity. Lutheranism is actually a division of Protestantism. Of course, Luther was the protester, wasn't he? Yeah, that son of a gun hammered up his little points at the Wittenberg Church, the Reformed Church. Don't get excited. It's all Protestantism. That's number 2. We have to go way down this list here. Even the Pentecostals, those are Protestants, according to this. Now we get down to Eastern Orthodoxy. That's huge. It's huge. 200 to 300 million. That's number 3. Number 4 is Oriental Orthodoxy. You never heard of it? Don't worry, neither have I. 86 million suckers. I mean people in this religion. Somebody's definitely here now. I thought I was alone. Okay. What's this? Anglicanism, Anglican, the Anglican Church, 85 million. That's number 4. Number 5, non-Trinitarianism. That's what they're calling this, Restorationism and non-Trinitarianism, 42 to 48 million. This includes the Mormons. I'm not kidding you. It includes Jehovah's Witnesses. They're calling this Restorationism. Never heard of that name before. How am I on time? Getting down there. And last but not least, oh, what else is included under there? Unitarian Universalism, United Pentecostal Church International, Christadelphians, only 42 million. And then we have Church of the East, 0.6 million. The Assyrian Church of the East, the Ancient Church of the East. I'm going to review these, and then I'm going to check out for now. Now, I'm not going to check out of this room. I'm going to check out of this microphone to review Catholicism, 1. Protestantism, 2. Eastern Orthodoxy, 3. Oriental Orthodoxy, 4. Anglicanism, 5. Restorationism and non-Trinitarianism, 6. Non-Trinitarianism, good for them. Number 7, Church of the East. Ladies and gentlemen, this is me talking, your host, Martin Zender. As we look into these things, maybe we'll have more definitive things to say. But in the meantime, I think that's pretty good. I think I might have blown your mind a little bit. I hope I did anyway. Okay, be broadcasting from here again, probably, but I don't say definitely.